To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. You can find me online at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com. That's M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A.com. Find me by my name on Facebook and Twitter, too, after their.com/MikeLuoma, M-I-K-E-L-U-O-M-A. And we have a Glow in the Dark Radio Facebook page, too, facebook.com/glowinthedarkradio. I've got a mailing list. I don't send out a lot. In fact, I've only sent out, like, one this summer so far. And that was to let you know about a reading I did in Burlington in June. I'm about to send out another one, though. It's my summer update is going to be going out. When you sign up for the mailing list, you also get a free copy of the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life. It's an exclusive for the mailing list. You only get it if you sign up for the mailing list. And it's an anthology. It's a compilation of all kinds of cool stuff you can't find anywhere else, including an Alibi Jones short story that's not available anywhere else, The Ghost in the Machine. It's now, that short story is now a part of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, so that's why it's not available separately. But I thought you might find it interesting, so it is included in that collection. But again, the only way you get the Glow in the Dark Radio Guide to Life is by signing up for the mailing list. And you can do that at any of my sites at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com or the Facebook page. Coming up this week, we've got the standalone short story Vacation, Alibi Jones Vacation. It's on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. It's a comic book story. You'll find this story in The Adventures of Alibi Jones number 2. One of Alibi Jones' comic book adventures. The art is by David Siddall. Inks are by Matt Grant. The color by Jerry Lucas. And you can read it through Comixology or Drive-Thru Comics or Indie Planet. Or you can also get it in print. There are links in the show notes, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com. Look under comics or under Alibi Jones. The story takes place a short time after the events in the novel, Alibi Jones. Alibi and Katie are seeing each other and decide to get away to the world their Dakur friend Kit has been newly assigned to. It's the colony called Paradise. Sounds perfect for a vacation, doesn't it? Well, it turns out to be poorly named, and we'll find out just how imperfect this paradise really is in my short story, Alibi Jones Vacation, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little news. I'd like to tell you I missed the last couple of weeks with a new episode because I was away on some kind of exotic summer vacation, but nope, it was Poison Ivy that took me on. I was not on a pleasure trip. Much better now, but it was one of the worst cases and most coverage I've ever had, so man, it's been quite a summer. It's a very wet summer here in the Northeast in Vermont, and Poison Ivy is thriving. So are mosquitoes. So, yeah. At least there's been some good days in between the wet ones, in between the raindrops. Anyway, better now, and so onward. Now, before we get into the story, I did want to let you know that I've got some free codes for Alibi Jones, the new audiobook, the novel, Alibi Jones. The new audiobook is now on Audible, and I can hook you up with a free code. If you'd like one, just email me, Mike Luoma, at glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com. That's glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com. Put audiobook or something like that as your subject. And say hello inside. Let me know you'd like a free code. I'll send them out while supplies last. I've got a handful here. You can find the Alibi Jones audiobook at Audible now. That link is in the show notes, or just again go to glowinthedarkradio.com. Ah, summertime. Good time for a vacation. So we'll go on one with Alibi and Katie. We'll take off on theirs next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
This is Alibi Jones Vacation on Glow in the Dark Radio.
You, sit down and shut up or you're dead.
Really? You'd do that? Right here in front of your own mother?
Alibi Jones asks the man with the power rifle pointed at him. He glares up at Christopher Blakely with defiance in his eyes. Blakely is a blonde-haired, good-looking young man. Alibi figures he's got all the advantages life has to offer. Son of the colony director of the planet Paradise and just 21, he's been handed responsibility for security for the vacation world. Now he's in way over his head. He's holding a room full of hostages at gunpoint, including his mother, the colony director, Jenna Blakely. Christopher Blakely has decided to overthrow his mother in a coup. Caught up among his hostages is the apparent master of being in the wrong place at the wrong time, the vacationing Alibi Jones.
I said shut up, Christopher shouts down at Alibi.
Alibi tries best he can to shrug with his hands on top of his head. Alibi keeps his mouth shut for the time being, looking past Christopher and his two heavily armed co-conspirators at the other hostages forced to sit, like him, on the floor of the Dakur Embassy office.
Have picked better places to vacation, Alibi thinks.
He'd met the two priests of the New Catholic Church directly across the room from him, Father Rosen and Mother Zarni, as they were all shepherded at gunpoint into the office and forced to sit on the floor.
Rosen's nerves must be on edge. He's sweating through his shirt.
The poor perspiration-soaked priest's companion has her eyes screwed shut tight, her lips moving, presumably in silent prayer. Next to the clergy sits Christopher's mother, Jenna Blakely, the colony director. The regal 60-something woman with short gray hair still maintains an air of dignity, even as she sits, hands on her head, on the floor. Next to Alibi sits the friend he and Katie came to visit, the cat-like alien Dakur they call Kit, short for Kit Rafunda Grundleral Kaza.
You may not want to kill that one, Blakely, Kit says to the armed man. Alibi is a much more valuable hostage than you know.
Blakely keeps his rifle trained on Alibi, but brings the pistol in his other hand around to point at the catman.
Not another word out of you, Kit!
But Blakely turns back to look at Alibi.
Wait a sec. His name's Alibi?
Alibi Jones?
Alibi looks up at Blakely, trying to be innocent. Great, Alibi mumbles. Then he speaks up. Yeah, I'm Alibi Jones.
The Alibi Jones?
Blakely asks.
Son of the old S.A. president, Capituna, right?
An amused look crosses Blakely's face.
Oh, yeah. Can't kill you yet,
Blakely chuckles. He looks back over at the feline alien.
Thanks, Kit.
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot, Kit, Alibi says, rolling his eyes as he thanks him with sarcasm.
"You would rather be dead?" Kit asks rhetorically. "I'd rather be on vacation," Alibi insists. "Thought I was. Katie and me didn't come to a place called Paradise to get caught up in some coup and held at gunpoint." "Is Katie okay?" Kit asks him. "I don't know," Alibi admits, looking worried. "We got separated trying to get here. Thought we'd be safe at your embassy. Hoping she found another safer place to hide till this blows over." Christopher Blakely interrupts, training his guns back on Alibi. "I said shut up!" he shouts down again. "Jeez, okay. I'm shutting up."
"Can't believe Katie and I picked this place for our vacation."
Seemed like a great idea a week ago. Katie and Alibi had been through a lot in the last couple of months. They needed a vacation. Their friend Kit was newly assigned to the Dakor Embassy on the small human colony world the inhabitants called Paradise.
"Sounds like a good place to get away to," Katie agreed when Alibi raised the idea last week.
"We've got a good excuse to go," Alibi said. "We can visit our favorite cat man in his honorable new position. Besides, who wouldn't want to go to Paradise?" They made quick travel arrangements and headed off within the week. It was a little disappointing. Paradise didn't exactly live up to its name. Too new a place, really. Much of the world was still bare rock and dirt. The 75,000 or so human settlers were working hard to tame it with forced terraforming. From space, the colony looked like a small green dot on the planet's dark surface, a small patch of Earth-like surroundings on an otherwise barren world. The port sat apart from the colony. After they landed yesterday, Katie and Alibi took a ground car to the main city. They rode through several kilometers of open land, where large construction vehicles tore up hard-packed dirt in front and deposited broken soil behind. The operation was enormous, the scale of the transformation attempted by the colonists impressive. Once under the canopy of trees, among the houses and gardens of the actual colony, the name Paradise became a bit more appropriate. The layout of the downtown centered on the directorship, the government building of Paradise. Its broad flight of wide gray and white marble stairs looked welcoming as their car drove by on the way to their hotel. A row of pillars lining the front of the building and a flattened triangular roof made obvious the attempt to look like the old government buildings back on Earth. It worked. The building was clearly the colony's center of power. Shops, cafes, hotels, and other tourist-driven businesses lined the acre-square green park in front of the directorship building. Most of the restaurants and cafes had open dining areas on the edges of the park. Just this morning, Alibi had been sitting at one of those outdoor cafes with Katie, enjoying some coffee and her company. Much of the time, Alibi felt their relationship suffered from too many highs and lows. Right now, however, he was enjoying what seemed to be some momentary middle ground. He liked the way that Katie looked with nature as her backdrop, her wavy black hair let down below her shoulders. He grinned as he thought of how ridiculous it was to picture her as some sort of Lady Mother Nature. A spacecraft taking off overhead broke Alibi's reverie. As the engine rumble faded, he realized he could hear other dissonant noises. "Are those power rifle blasts?" he asked Katie.
It wasn't fair. Christopher Blakely felt entirely justified. It was simple, really. He only wanted what was his. His mother had acted as if it was understood, and so Christopher had understood it that way. He was sure he was to be the next director of the colony after she retired. When she retired next year,
as she'd announced earlier this year. Her father had passed the directorship down to her, after all. He never saw her betrayal coming. Her decision to have Paradise join the Solar Alliance meant the end of hereditary rule. All SA planets had to be democracies. His sense of entitlement challenged, Christopher and his security goons decided to run his mother out of office at gunpoint. A month's worth of planning culminated in today's coup attempt. As the coup went down, Christopher stood behind his mother's desk in the director's office, energy pistol in his right hand, power rifle in his left. He wished they didn't have to hurt anyone, but a bloodless coup was impossible. His people were all acting simultaneously around the colony, eliminating the older security guards loyal to his mother. They were taking over the port, assuming control of the banks and treasury, and locking down the customs zone. His first job? Taking over the director's office. Mission accomplished. As she stood next to the desk, Paradise director Jenna Blakely's head and shoulders drooped. She looked defeated, held at gunpoint by a young Vietnamese woman with short black hair, her son's girlfriend, Sean. Four other young men in security uniforms guarded the doors and windows of the room. Everyone in the office jumped a little when the comm came to life. "We're encountering resistance," a voice on the comm said. "Murphy and his old men are..." The comm cut off as suddenly as it started. "Hey!" Christopher shouted. "Stop her!" Distracted by the interruption, they hadn't noticed the older woman move toward the office door. Jenna Blakely opened the door and ran, making her break. She headed for the front of the building. Steps echoed in the hallway behind her as she reached the front doors. She looked back and saw Christopher leading the five from the office in pursuit. Part of her mind still focused on her job, and noted without emotion that all the security posts had been abandoned. That meant there was no one to get in her way, the running part of her thought gratefully. She marveled at how calm she felt, amid the craziness. It wasn't in her nature to panic. She raced through the front doors and galloped down the stairs as fast as her legs would carry her. She heard gunfire echoing in the distance, and people screaming. Some tourists and colonists were panicking. People ran through the park. She ran to join them. She hoped she could blend in with the crowd. Jenna Blakely decided to seek sanctuary, if there was any sanctuary to be found. Christopher Blakely burst through the building's front doors. He paused a moment and looked back at the sign on the edifice, declaring it the Paradise Colonial Directorship. "Mine now," he said to himself under his breath. "I'll be back again." He plunged down the stairs after his fugitive mother, followed by Sean and his men. The five stormed through the park in pursuit, pushing past panicked citizens, some of whom dared look back in defiance past their fear. Jenna Blakely was headed diagonally across the park toward the curved alien shape of the new Decor Embassy.
Flash!
Sean fired her power rifle into the air. "Out of our way! Paradise security business!" she shouted. People scrambled to get out of their path. "Was that completely necessary?" Christopher asked her. He usually liked her passion, but sometimes she got a little too hot. People got hurt. Nearby, the sound of the power rifle firing made Alibi run faster. "She looks like she knows where she's going," Alibi said to Katie, nodding toward a dignified older woman who looked determined as she marched past. When Katie didn't answer Alibi, he turned. A short man who had been close on his heels ran into him, bounced off with a yelp, and continued on his way. But Katie wasn't there. Alibi searched the faces of the people around him in the park, looking for her. No luck. "Oh, don't like the look of those faces," he said to himself as he saw Christopher and his group approaching. Alibi turned back and ran after the dignified older woman. He was pretty sure she was the colony director. It also looked certain she was heading where he and Katie had decided to go, to Kit's Dakur Embassy. woman nodded at the Dakor's security officers stationed at the embassy gate as she briskly walked past them. Alibi nodded as well, as he passed the cat-like alien guards. "Here to see Kit," Alibi called out. Running a little, he caught the embassy's front door before it closed entirely behind the woman just ahead, and followed her into the building. He looked around for some sign of Kit. Unfortunately, the embassy proved a poor choice for sanctuary. The Dakor's diplomatic sovereignty ignored, Christopher Blakely and his goons forced their way into the embassy at gunpoint. As they swept the building looking for Christopher's mother, they captured a few others like Alibi, unfortunate enough to have thought to join the Dakor in their refuge. The hostages were led by Blakely and his people into the embassy's main office, and their current plight. But the coup does not seem to be going exactly as planned, if Alibi can judge by the panicked messages he's heard coming over Blakely's comm in the last half hour. The young guns seem to be holding the port, but not the banks and the treasury building. Blakely has been calling his men back at security headquarters without getting an answer back. He also sent one of his men running back to the directorship building. After he received word, some of the old security guards were approaching in a group of about 30. The confidence of his two remaining lieutenants seems to be waning as the time wears on, though they continue to keep their guns trained on Jenna, Alibi, Kit, and the two priests. But Shan has an intensity, a look about her that actually scares Alibi. There's just something not right about that girl.
"It's not too late, Chris. Call this off," Jenna Blakely pleads with her son.
"Quiet, mother," he snaps back at her. He looks back over at Alibi, a hungry look in his eyes.
Blakely nods at one of his men.
"Get someone from Solar Alliance on the comm. Find out what our hostage is worth to him."
"Will do," he says. He leaves the office on his errand. The comm barks again, but this time Shan intercepts the call and takes the incoming message on a private headset.
"Yes. I see. I'll tell him. Shan out," she finishes. She turns to Christopher. "Well, lover, Moose and Sammy have the spaceport under lockdown. They'd already heard that your mother tried to seek asylum with the Dakor."
"Huh. News travels, right?"
"We made it clear that wasn't an option, didn't we?"
"Chris, honey." Jenna Blakely tries to talk to her son again. Christopher Blakely loses it. Eyes bulging, veins popping out slightly on the sides of his forehead, he shouts at his mother like a madman. A madman with a gun in each hand.
"Shut up, mother! Don't talk to me like a child! I am an adult!"
Alibi can't resist temptation. He leans toward Kit, speaking softly. "Oh yeah, real grown up." Christopher hears him. He stomps over to Alibi and swings the butt end of his power rifle around to hit Alibi up alongside his head.
"Shut up!"
Christopher screams. Alibi grunts as he hits the ground. His arm caught part of the blow, lessening its impact. Still, he lies on the ground, wincing. He's still conscious. He rubs the side of his head as Christopher stands over him, fuming.
"Want me to shoot him?"
Shan casually offers, recommending murder as she aims her gun at Alibi.
"That'll shut him up."
"Can't. Not yet," he tells his girlfriend. "That's Alibi Jones, hero of the SA. Saved people from the alien Tekta, remember? It was all over the news. Anyway, thinking we can get some ransom money from the SA for him."
Talking about ransom money seems to calm Blakely down. Alibi still worries about the man's psychotic girlfriend. She stares at Alibi, assessing him, sizing him up.
"That's him?"
she asks, double-checking with Christopher.
He nods. Thought he'd be taller, she muses. He's no hero. Completely overrated, Christopher says.
Hey!
Valuing his life over his pride, Alibi's protest is silent. After all, he didn't save my sister from the Tekta, Christopher says. She's gone! What? Alibi asks.
What?
Kit also voices surprise. Your sister was taken by the Tekta? Jenna Blakely tries to comfort her son. He stares back at her, his eyes holding blame for his mother in their glare.
You're still angry about losing her, I know. So am I, Chris. We all are.
Then why didn't you do anything about it? He yells at her. Jenna Blakely begs her son.
Chris, come on, give this up.
Flash!
A bolt of energy throws the body of Jenna Blakely back as it kills her on contact. She is sent tumbling backwards in a sort of sick somersault as she rolls out of her sitting position on the floor. Alibi's head whips around to see Sean still pointing the power rifle at the space where Jenna Blakely last lived. Christopher loses it again, lunging towards his fallen mother.
No!
He screams. A shuffling noise at the office door draws Alibi's attention, just in time for him to see the muzzle of a power rifle point through it and fire.
Flash!
Sean flies backwards, hit by the beam from the power rifle. Christopher looks up from his dead mother to see his girlfriend's corpse crumble into a smoking heap on the ground.
Sean!
He shouts. He doesn't have time to say any more, as Alibi Jones is now landing on top of him, pinning his arms to his sides. Kit leaps over and tackles Christopher's other lieutenant, knocking him to the ground. Blakely struggles. Katie, revealing herself as wielder of the power rifle, walks all the way into the room. Another woman follows timidly behind her. Stun him, Katie! Alibi calls over to her. This is Christopher Blakely, the guy who started the coup. Stun him! You're holding him. I could hit you, she protests. I'm already stunning, Alibi jokes. Okay, now I don't mind if I do, she says. Christopher swallows a scream as the bolt glances off him. He drops his weapons, but he's still semi-conscious. So Alibi punches him in the head. He lets out as he finally goes down. The security man held by Kit screams and then goes silent. Kit looks up at Alibi.
I believe he fainted when I began to claw his face off, the Doc Corps says, sounding dark and dangerous in tone.
He straightens up from the body. This is Justine Blakely, Katie says to Alibi, introducing the woman with her. Justine is in no mood for introductions. Horror plays across her features as she looks at the mess in front of her. She spots her mother lying lifeless on the floor across the room. Mother? She cries. She runs over and then drops down at the side of her mother's dead form. She glares back up through tearful eyes at her brother. Oh, Christopher, she says. What have you done? A relieved Alibi makes his way over to Katie. He grabs her in a healthy hug. Katie, you're alive! No thanks to you. You took off on me, she chastises him playfully. He pulls back a little. I thought you were right behind me. Besides, you know I was coming here. That was our plan, right? I'm here now, aren't I? She points out. Katie smirks. You better thank me for saving that cute butt of yours. He leans in again and kisses her. They go on for a bit, perhaps a bit long, as Kit, amused, interrupts them with a comment.
Would the two of you like a room? The embassy has many.
Mom? The plaintive sound of Justine Blakely's voice wrenches them all back to reality, She cradles her dead mother's head and shoulders as her brother tries to rise from the floor. He's made it up onto all fours.
Mom? No. 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 Mom.
Justine looks up and over at her brother, now up on his knees. Tears stream down her cheeks.
Oh, Christopher, you little idiot. Look what you've done.
I thought you were dead, Justine, he tells her. Justine looks up from her mother and points over at Alibi.
He saved me, Christopher, she tells her brother. That's Alibi Jones. He saved all of us kidnapped victims from those aliens.
She looks over at Alibi and forces a smile.
Thank you, by the way. I've been kind of out of it until recently, but I did want to...
She breaks off and chokes back a sob.
Just thank you.
She stands and looks down at her brother, still on his knees.
You, got this under control here? Katie asks her. Yeah, she says.
She sighs.
You're under arrest, Christopher.
What?
Mom's dead. Paradise needs a director. And that's you, he asks, verging on sarcasm. You are in no position to question me on this, Christopher, she tells him.
Surprisingly, Christopher has the gall to argue with her.
That's not fair. I should be the director.
Alibi rolls his eyes and makes for the office door as he listens to Christopher's whining.
Give it up, Christopher, his sister replies. Your little coup attempt is over.
Alibi hears her call in loyal security guards as they leave the office. Alibi leads the way as he, Katie, and Kit walk back outside of the embassy building.
Where'd she come from? Alibi asks Katie as they walk down the stairs. She was on that ship with me, Katie explains. You saved her from the kidnappers, too.
I kind of figured that, but how come she's just getting here now?
She was in a hospital back on Ceres Central. Guess she was in bad shape. Only came to her senses last week, she told me.
Alibi shakes his head. Not quite the answer he was looking for, to not quite the question he was asking. Sort of the story of their relationship lately, come to think of it. As they reach the base of the stairs, he tries again.
Okay. But how come she's here on Paradise now? How'd you find her?
I ran into her at the spaceport. I went out there when we got separated. She was just landing. She grins. Lucky for us, she came in on a fully crewed Solar Alliance Stinger ship. The crew took out the goons who had taken over the spaceport.
Your attention, please.
A voice echoes out over the colony. Justine Blakely has somehow secured access to the colony's public address system. Alibi, Katie, and Kit look up as she speaks to the colony.
This is Justine Blakely. The coup attempted by my brother Christopher has been put down. He and his men are either dead or in our custody. My mother, Jenna Blakely, has been killed.
There is a pause before Justine continues.
So it is with great reluctance that I, Justine Blakely, assume the directorship of Paradise. This will not last for long, as I intend to follow through on my mother's wishes and bring Paradise into the Solar Alliance, complete with the required democratic elections. In fact, soldiers from the SA helped me to end this bloody coup. We owe the Solar Alliance our thanks and a debt of gratitude. I thank you all for your cooperation at this difficult time.
She seems to be a lot like her mother, Kit observes. It was evident from the start of my assignment here that Christopher Blakely was going to be trouble. I did not realize How much trouble?
Alibi grins. He can't resist.
Ah, trouble in paradise? He cracks.
Indeed.
Kit responds in an even tone, not acknowledging Alibi's wordplay. Katie snickers. She changes the subject, giving Alibi a hard time.
I wouldn't joke if I were you, Mr. I sure can pick a great vacation spot.
We are still on vacation, he points out.
You are certainly welcome to stay here at the embassy, Kit says, trying to be helpful.
Sorry, Kit, Katie says. Think I've had enough of paradise.
She turns and starts to walk away. Alibi turns and starts to follow her, but then stops and turns back to Kit, who remains standing at the base of the stairs.
Guess we're gonna go, he tells his friend. Thanks?
You are welcome, I guess, Kit says. I hope the next time we get together is less dangerous and eventful, he says.
Yeah, better not try something as risky as a vacation, huh?
Alibi jokes. Kit looks puzzled. Alibi is about to explain when Kit stops him.
Yes, I see your point. A vacation on paradise should not have been a risky proposition.
Alibi laughs. He looks back at Katie, still walking off towards their hotel. Alibi begins to walk backwards as he says goodbye.
Keep in touch, Kit. Take care.
You as well, my friend.
Alibi turns to follow Katie, but then stops one more time.
I think this place needs a new name, he calls back to Kit.
The Dakor remains silent as Alibi shouts over his shoulder,
Or my name isn't Alibi Jones.
That was Alibi Jones Vacation on Glow in the Dark Radio. Yes, we get it. Your name is Alibi Jones, and the planet maybe should have another name. Not exactly Paradise. So again, that short story is a comic book story, and you can find that in The Adventures of Alibi Jones number 2, with art by David Siddall, and inks by Matt Grant, and color by Jerry Lucas. Now, Alibi's adventures continue a little more seriously in his second novel, Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her, that's Alibi Jones novel number 2. And that's coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. We may have another short story before that one, we'll see. I'm not sure which is going to come next. You'll have to join me next time and find out. I will not be putting an episode out next week, however, as I will be on the road for a business trip, so that'll be coming up like the week of the 19th or so. A reminder in the news, the Alibi Jones novel, the audiobook, is now at Audible, and I have free codes if you want one. So just email me at glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com and let me know you'd like that. And if you want to get to it, you can just follow the links at my website at glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com, or just go to Amazon and look me up, or Alibi. You'll find us. But I do have a few free codes for Audible. Send me an email if you'd like one. And that's going to do it for this week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.